Today's show is brought to you by TheYeti.com. Get 10% off awesome exclusive stuff by going to TheYeti.com/Mega64. Sean and Derek will no longer appear on this show, the Mega64 podcast. I now present our new permanent host, our ruler and Dark Lord, Emperor Rocco Bodhi.
Of the Mega 64 podcast. This new era in podcasting will be one ruled with an iron fist. My message is clear. As host and, of what?
And Kevin.
I thought, okay.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, how's it
really?
Going?
Oh. Hey. I thought this was just going to be a me thing.
I mean, we're excited to have you, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
Residing over us.
You got that going for you.
Yeah. But. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it would just be my, okay. Theme song.
Lonely horse, got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides the lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side. I'm just trying to be the lonely horseman, 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 lonely horseman.
Wow. We're discussing the dark side of things here.
Yes. Welcome to the Mega 64 podcast. Derek and Sean are no longer with us.
Wow. Sad.
Yeah, we went ahead and had them just cut from the cast because, you know, we felt like there were a lot of dissenting opinions.
Yeah,
that's the only reason. There's not any more to it.
They spent a lot of time in Austin, Texas, you know, and that is a place that could harbor some dissenting opinions.
Yeah, so we just went and eliminated them.
Wow.
We executed Order 64. You know,
that
for all you sci-fi nuts out there, hopefully piece that one together. Google that. But anyway, thanks for joining us for the podcast tonight. Yeah, we've got a lot going for you. We've got a lot going for us. I don't know about for you. I don't know what you have going on.
Yeah, you might be sitting there, you know, half through a big, large size bag of Doritos already.
Yeah. Man, I hadn't had chips in so long, and yesterday I ate a lot of
potato
chips.
Or tortilla.
Okay, so at this thing we went to the beach yesterday. I was wearing the same outfit you see now.
Yeah. Just a beach attire, yeah, as you see.
That's why I'm getting a little bit of sand everywhere, but that's okay. I hate
sand. Saudi swag.
I hate sand. Me but anyway, too. Somebody brought a giant ass bag of just regular ass Lay's.
Ooh, regular.
And I was hoping all day no one would open it because I knew I couldn't put it down if they did. And then finally in the last hour, somebody did and I pigged out. I couldn't help myself.
Were they just plain? They weren't like...
Yeah, plain ass chips.
Oh, that's a treat nowadays, huh?
Yeah, I never have that. And it's, oh my God. And what else was there? And like those burnt Cheez-Its or whatever. They have like toasted Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad. I didn't share, but I brought a bag of Flamin' Hot Limon Cheetos.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I never had those before.
Oh, you got...
Chili lemon is good.
I should have shared, you guys. Now you're making me feel all kinds of guilt.
Yeah, I'm sorry. About that.
The beach day was fun. It was a successful... I think that's the first time I've been to the beach in several years.
Yeah.
Outside of us filming there for something.
Mm. Yeah.
Which that's been several years now, too, I think.
And we live near the beach.
I know. Like, you take it for granted.
Like half an hour away.
Yeah, I never go.
You know? You take it for granted.
Yep. When it's not there, then you crave it. But when it's just at your disposal, you kind of don't go as often.
Got sand in every orifice.
Remember where we left it.
I've never been a fan of sand. I don't like it. Just
what is Anakin?
Kevin's doing a parody. He's doing an Attack of the Clones parody.
That's an attack. Like,
it's terrible. Yeah. Gets everywhere.
I didn't even realize that.
You just saw Attack of the Clones.
I did, but
I
forgot about the sand thing. Yeah, I legitimately said that without thinking about anything Star Wars, even though I'm sitting right next to
you. You're looking right at the Emperor. All I can think of is Bantha this and Poodoo that.
But anyway, so we went to the beach yesterday, and what was the point of bringing that up? Why do we bring that up?
We
had a fun day yesterday.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. It was weird because where I live at my house, it was like super bright and hot.
Oh,
and
so
then
hot.
I took an Uber down to the beach because I didn't want to park there. And it was like cloudy and windy. What the hell happened?
Yeah, usually that burns off during the day, but
yeah, usually I guess it does, but it did not.
I liked that overcast experience of the beach because I haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, me too.
You know, typically you're down there, it's hotter than hell, you can't escape the sun. Mm-hmm. I planned for that, but then also I planned for, you know, I brought some breakaway pants in case I needed.
So you just blast them off whenever you need to?
Anytime, dude. Adidas, just zip.
Yeah.
But I needed them because we could see our breath by the time nightfall came. It got cold out there.
Yeah, it did get cold out there.
It was a weird beach day. It was all misty and the tide kept rising on us.
But it really is weird because I've lived in San Diego my entire life and I have been to the last time I went to the beach just to hang out and not film.
Yeah.
It's been at least a decade or if more.
Yeah, that really was the first time in years and years for me too.
It's been a lot when I was a kid, but not really anymore.
It's funny because like everyone brought stuff and like we had like a bunch of food there and like Emily set up tents and like stuff like that.
It was like Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the premise of that game is like you set up a campground, but like we really commandeered this like square area and set up a fortress.
And then what was funny is like Emily, when we were at the end, she was like, we got to do this like every week or something. Or what was it?
Once a month.
And you sounded so overwhelmed.
I'm all, once a month, we could do it. We could do it again sometime.
Yeah.
You know,
it was just an overwhelming thought. We're still not nature people.
Kept it. I mean, really.
Yeah.
It was a lot of elements for, you know, a gamist like myself to be hit with
wind,
mist,
sand,
water, seawater up there. It's gunking up your portables.
Yeah. I honestly thought about, I'm like, hey, we're just going to be hanging out there all day. I should bring my Switch. But like moving that, I always forget like the Switch has like a fan.
Yeah, it's sucking in.
That plus sand, I was like not feeling that.
No. Notice the Switch commercial, they're playing on a New York City rooftop, not at the beach.
Yeah, not at the beach.
They know that moist, salty air is going to damage some internals.
And plus, it was nice to like have a day where I wasn't really like looking at the screen of anything.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't had a day to just like fuck off for a long time.
Yeah.
Like to just like look at the ocean and not, you know.
Yeah, there was a lot of quiet contemplation out of this Saturday. It was a lot of times you'd look off and someone would just be staring at the sea.
Yeah.
Like for a while.
Did anybody go in like boogie boarding
or
anything?
Shouts out to Emily. She did a 45 minute plus boogie boarding session.
She went way out
into the fucking like breaks.
Yeah. Boogie boarding's fun.
To the point of where, you know, you had that friend when you were a kid who would stay out so far and so long that it scared all the mothers on the beach.
Yeah.
It was like me going, I mean, Emily's still out there. She's still kind of, oh, there she is. Okay, I see her.
Yeah.
I was starting to get, because it was like, you know, a while.
Yeah.
But she was shredding those fucking waves.
Yeah. For those who don't know, too, to contextualize, Emily has done a lot of art stuff for us.
This is who we're talking about.
She did the paintings in our, that were on our like living room set.
Yeah, the portraits of everyone.
Yeah. And, she did that artwork and a whole bunch of other stuff, like Mega 64 time, like painting and stuff or whatever. All kinds of stuff. She's done a ton of stuff for us. So yeah, she's great.
Old school forum member.
Yeah.
I realized she was using her Hawaiian talents out there in the waves.
Yeah.
Carving it up.
Yeah.
And as far as I was concerned, she gets a gold medal for even going in because it was freezing. That's always been my issue with ocean stuff.
Yeah.
I even brought a board, like a skim board, because I thought like, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll stay in the shallows, fool around. But no, it was too frigid.
Yeah. It was cold enough that I was like kind of like waist deep at some points in it, but that was it. I didn't.
That's good.
I didn't
know. Ankles, man. That was all yeah. I could do.
But anyway, but it was still nice. Anyway, I didn't bring my Switch. I did play the Switch a lot though, this past week, because now I'm playing Final Fantasy 12 again. I already mentioned that.
You beat, what was the last one? You beat 9.
Yeah, 9. Time, right? I beat 9. Now I'm playing 12. Yeah. I streamed it just the other night, just because I was here and had some extra time. But, did you guys see all the stuff for the Switch Lite this last week?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, how did you guys feel about that? Any interest in that or ain't?
I think it's cool. I am no chance of me buying it.
Yeah, I already have a Switch.
I don't need it. I have a Switch and it has more features and everything like that. I don't need it. But it's cool that it exists for that demographic and like kids will love it and everything like that.
Yeah.
But it's not for me.
It's like the 2DS. Yeah. It looks like the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's great for families of kids that are not going to play it on the TV anyway. And now for like only $199, they're in like that whole system, ecosystem, whatever. Otherwise don't, you know, that doesn't appeal to me. The whole appeal of the Switch is exactly what it says it does, to put it on the TV or portable. And so if this doesn't do both, I don't need it, but cool that it's there, you know, whatever. But I do like the idea of one being smaller that I could actually throw in my pocket.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's much smaller.
That's the one aspect of it that
will still fit in any pockets aside from like cargo shorts?
I don't know. I don't know, because the Vita was
still a little too big.
Was big, but that fit in my pocket fine.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, the save, like you can't, I just like the idea of that everywhere you go, whether portable or home, it's the same system. There's no syncing of saves. There's nothing. You just pick it up and that's your system. And you take controllers off of it, share them with people. And it's a lot of fun. This kind of just limits that.
Yeah, so I'm not really that interested in that. Yeah. But I like that they have all the different colors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's really all I was playing this last week. Actually, I did play Judgment for a little bit. I've kind of already talked about that.
Back in, though.
Yeah.
You streamed
that. Yeah, I streamed that for a little bit.
For Future Probe, you streamed Judgment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're just streaming Final Fantasy for fun. It seems like you're going through now all these like re-releases.
Yeah. I find it's a lot of fun revisiting these older games when with an audience. You know what I mean? Like you can actually talk about it and, oh yeah, I remember this part sucks. Every time I streamed Final Fantasy 12, because I remember when they re-released it on PS4, I streamed it then too. Every time I've streamed that game, I feel like it's the same part where I have to sneak past guards. like there's one part where you have to go, hey Buckethead, and get him to go down a hallway to like miss you or something. I don't know, but I feel like I've been caught in the stream. It's like I'm in some kind of purgatory situation where I've just been streaming that forever. That's how I felt Friday when I streamed it.
Is it just a really long part? Like, did you get past it?
I think I've restarted that game many times. And I never like streaming just like the first minutes of a game where it's like, okay, you don't need to see like the tutorial and things like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've been in the situation a million times where I'm like, oh, I'm far enough. I could stream this. And it's just that part
where you started.
Hey, Buckethead. Yeah. I mean, it's literally just getting past these guards and going, hey, Buckethead.
Is that how you get their attention?
Yeah, you yell, hey, Buckethead, because I guess they hate the guitarist or something. I don't know.
They have helmets on.
No, it can't be that.
That's
you think that would not be possible.
No, that doesn't make sense.
Because the name Buckethead is copywritten. Just like how KFC can't use those buckets anymore.
Damn, that's canon.
That's why they made the Famous Bowl.
Wow.
Oh, did you ever used to eat the Famous Bowl at KFC?
I've never had it. Is it not available anymore? Or
I don't think it is. Okay. Does anyone out there know?
Sean was a big fan, but I have never eaten it. Putting corn in my mashed potatoes, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, it was kind of like they would just mix up corn. I think it was corn, mashed potatoes, chicken, and cheese, and gravy or something.
All fine, separate.
Mixed it in a bowl.
Yeah, no thanks.
Oh, mix it up.
Yeah.
Just give it to me all. It's still
available. Oh, it is?
Oh, really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Okay.
That's less than I thought.
That's would
pretty
be.
Good. Less than a double down, probably.
Yeah.
But I found out at Anime Expo this last week, which we'll talk about next, probably.
Please.
The convention center makes those now. Like, seriously, the convention center food is always the same shit. It's like...
It's Taste of LA.
It's, Taste LA. They put fancy signs on it.
That's the company.
It's chicken strips and potatoes. It's so the same bad. Shit every
same
time.
Same shit.
But
soggy fries.
This last year, they mixed it all into a bowl, into a famous bowl.
Yeah.
A $13 famous bowl. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Like, I always got the weird stuff at KFC when I was, I loved the Twister. I don't know what it
oh,
was.
Oh, yeah.
What was the Twister?
It was like a tortilla with yep. a piece of chicken strip in it and like some coleslaw thing.
Really?
Yeah, it was good. That it was like a wrap.
And, okay.
That
spicy Twister.
That probably has been around for 10, 15 years now, but.
Available in Australia. Damn, they still have it? Down under.
Yeah. What's your favorite like fast food stuff that's not around anymore? Like,
that's not around
the
anymore?
The item that you got like a McDonald's or KFC Ooh. Or something that they yanked from the menu years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I was pretty partial to, I think it was called honey sauce that they had at McDonald's for the McNuggets.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. They don't have honey dip in like the honey?
I don't think so anymore. I believe that's gone. But when I was a kid... Specifically, what? Okay, I'm right then. So specifically, I didn't even care about the chicken McNuggets. It was about that fucking honey sauce, which they couldn't just call honey because it wasn't.
No, it wasn't honey at
all. It was honey sauce. So it was like some sugar flavored like honey.
Yeah.
But I love that honey sauce. I would get nuggets just to get that like three.
I
need like
available.
Three to dip in.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone.
It shouldn't be, I mean, I shouldn't be eating these all the time anyway, but I remember when I was working on the version three DVD, like I was coming in early in the morning every day, working all day. I ate so bad during that time because I was just doing that all the time and just eating crap food the whole experience. It was bad. But in the morning, I would go to McDonald's for like, not every day, but like some, you know, they had that McDonald's breakfast and that's kind of a novelty sometimes. Yeah. But they got, at one point, they had a spicy chicken biscuit for breakfast, like a breakfast.
Like
biscuit?
A breakfast spicy? I've never seen a breakfast.
A spicy chicken breakfast biscuit. And man, that was a problem. I loved it. And that there was a point in time where I was going every day for
really.
That. And then one day they got rid of it. They were like, yeah, nobody liked this. And I was like, oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that was it. But that's probably for the best. I didn't need to be eating that. So
do you
that's
have
probably
one?
Mine would probably be like, actually going back to KFC, I loved the honey barbecue wings they had, 10 years ago or maybe more?
I don't even remember that.
They were these just, they were like dark. And
where was this? Sorry, where?
KFC.
Yeah, KFC. Okay.
And, yeah, it was like very spiced.
Oh, they were so sweet and so delicious.
Yeah.
And they don't have them anymore. So that's a, and another thing I used to always get before school was when McDonald's had the salad shakers and it looked like a Slurpee cup.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was plastic and had the like the dome top but with no hole in it.
Dressing.
Mm-hmm.
And
you'd pour the dressing into it with all the lettuce and stuff would come in it and you'd shake it up.
You would get that?
So I would get that all the time as a kid.
Wow.
Just go like, because there was a McDonald's on the way to school and
it's on the dollar menu, right?
No, I think so. And I would just, you would just shake it up. And we get all the dressing on everything, so you could eat it.
Now, does Subway count as
Subway
fast food?
Definitely counts as fast food.
Okay, because I think the biggest travesty, aside from my honey sauce, is they got rid of the seafood and crab. And I've talked about this in the past.
Didn't Sean like hate it when people ordered that?
Yeah, when people would order it, they'd have to tear open a brick of this crab
and like mix it by hand
with
gloves
with
on
mayo
like,
or something.
It
sounded disgusting.
Man, the seafood and crab was my jam for so
seafood
long.
Seafood and crab sandwich,
footlong baby. I went all in.
Oh man, there probably too many salmonella outbreaks for that one.
No, I think it was a lack of interest. You know, delicate palates require. I don't know.
Require Yeah.
They require extra mayo.
Just give me a roast beef.
Careful.
I'm good.
I mean, you know what happens if you eat too much of it.
Oh,
which
gosh.
Was a thing that was legally brought up in court. Jesus. Anyway. Speaking of court.
Speak of it.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't have anything to say about court. I was going to talk about Anime Expo.
Full court press.
We were at Anime Expo. No, actually, Kevin was at RTX.
Yeah.
So this is good. Boo. We can have a discussion now. Garrett and I went to Anime Expo. Kevin and Sean and Derek all went to RTX. Now, I should clarify, why are Derek and Sean not on the show this week? Derek is finishing up some other stuff. Sean is the sickest I've ever seen him.
He was dying.
Sean is dying. And I think he got like his whole family sick.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, patient zero?
Yes. Yeah. I think Sean was
that
patient
whole household
zero.
Is sick now.
And that's a Texas bug he brought back with him.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly.
Yeah, okay.
So,
I don't know.
So they are not here. So already there's a mark against the RTX team.
They're gone.
Infected.
They're unhealthy. We're healthy. It really pains me that we didn't organize the fun off this year, because without a doubt,
right,
Garrett and I would have slam dunked it.
Easy.
Roasted it, toasted it.
Done and done.
Burn it to a crisp.
I mean, had the most fun ever.
We
probably would have organized it if we would have known how on top we would come.
I mean, does Kevin
this.
Have any argument?
Once
to
again, there's no footage of your fun. There never has been.
Actually,
we do.
Dancing outside with some food.
I think it's you who does not have the footage, my friend.
That's personal channel.
Because we recorded not only a lot of fun shit around the convention, but we have footage of the most bombastic panel intro we've ever had.
Oh yeah, baby.
And why was our panel at Anime Expo so bombastic this year? Because it's our first panel ever to begin with an earthquake.
That's right.
Natural disaster.
We literally
6.9.
Okay, is everyone in the room? Yeah. All right. And Anime Expo, again, for the record, that's usually like one of our biggest panels we do every year. So we invited everyone in. We said, is everyone seated? Yeah, let's start. We told the staff, let's start the panel. And then all of a sudden,
we started.
Garrett was sitting in a chair and he went, is Ryan shaking my chair? Which Ryan was not even in the room. I mean, he was in the room, but not backstage with us.
No, but I thought like if anyone, it's like, you know, Derek threw my ice cream down outside. Yeah. It's
somebody who was messing
with
you.
Who in the room would be messing with me? Yeah. That's where my brain goes. And my brain went to Dr. Ryan because my chair was like, I thought someone was just shaking the shit out of the chair I was sitting in.
Oh, yeah. That was the earth doing that.
Dude.
It just felt like this cannot be real, right? This cannot, oh my God. And I'm like standing there. I'm like, I'm moving. I'm moving right now.
Yeah.
And it shook the place and it set all the alarms off in the building. And
which are audible and visual. There were these
like flasher, right?
Yeah. These bright white flashing lights all around the perimeter of the room.
Yeah. And so it's an alarm going off. Beep. Attention. There is a safety emergency or whatever it's
in.
And please so they actually did start to evacuate the people in our panel. And then we got word that, oh, by the way, false alarm. Everything is safe. You don't have to evacuate. Cool. Everyone can sit down. So they sit down, and then the staff goes backstage and goes, hey, are you sure? Are you guys okay, first and foremost? And we were. And they said, do you still want to do the panel? These sirens are still going off. We don't have any idea when they're going to be able to shut them off.
Yeah.
And we said, the perfect condition to do our panel. Let's do it. And so they actually started our panel intro and everything.
We just said, turn it up.
While the sirens were going off.
Play it loud. We'll drown out the sirens.
Yeah.
You know, we'll lean into the humor of this possible catastrophe that had happened.
Yeah. And anyway, so that couldn't have been a better start. We got footage of the whole incident going down and all the chaos.
So there is some footage.
See,
Kevin.
And it ended up being everyone had a positive experience out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Fun Off was won successfully. Thanks to, I think God cast his vote and chipped in, and I think we won.
Well, our panel was right, like yours was starting right as ours was ending. So I think our standing ovation we got after our panel caused your earthquake.
Kind of like flaps of a butterfly wing.
I think the cheers
wing.
And standing ovation actually rumbled through the United States to LA and hit you.
The fault lines don't even match
good.
Up.
Sounds good. But no. Anyway, we had a wonderful Anime Expo. It was great seeing everybody. Thanks to everybody who came. They did show at the convention this year, they showed a brand new 10 minutes of Evangelion.
Yeah.
10 minutes of Evangelion 4.0 or nice. Whatever it's going to be called coming out next year. They showed that there. However, it was a packed house. And we found out that it was on the internet, so we watched it.
Full standing room only.
In our hotel room. That was pretty cool. Garrett, did you have any thoughts about the new 10 minutes of Evangelion?
Yeah, that was a fun experience in itself too. Watching
gathering
it,
around?
Yeah, like a bunch of people watching it in a hotel room. And then having like a full conversation about different parts or whatever. But no, I really enjoyed it. I feel like We got to do that with that space battle scene that 3.0 kind of opens with.
Yeah.
And it felt very similar to that, you know.
Yeah. Did you like what was shown? Like, did you think?
I've watched it a few times.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched it since then. That first one.
Was it like a trailer or was it just 10 minutes?
The first 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is similar. It, like, 3.0 has a very similar first 10 minute opening. It's just like it drops you in on here's an operation that Misato and her team are conducting.
Yeah.
But this is cool. Kind of refamiliarized yourself with characters from 3.0, like post time skip.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, cool. Like, here's all these Willy personnel. Because that's the new.
Is that really how you pronounce
Will?
It?
I don't know.
Yeah, because it was really killing me that you have this like powerhouse organization and we're calling it Willy.
It's all that, it's a German thing, right?
I thought it was like Ville or something.
Ville.
You know, but I could be wrong. People will probably know.
Regardless, like you get, I've watched it a few more times, and I didn't realize their big ship that they have, the kind of the main ship that they're all working off of in 3.0.
Yeah.
With Unit 1 kind of as its core, you know, all wrapped up.
Yeah.
That's in this trailer, kind of puppeting all the other battleships and Mari and her unit and everything. It's kind of like marionetting everything from up above.
What is exactly? Sorry, say that
their
again?
Ship, the Wonder.
Wonder. Yeah. And that was in there?
Yeah, that I didn't notice on my first playthrough.
Oh, yeah.
But like everything above the Paris battle seems to be on like... It's not clear if they're... It looks like they're on strings, like marionettes.
Yeah.
Like all the battleships, Mari and her unit.
Yeah.
It's like on this like cable system. Like Jackie Chan and his crew fly around on making movies. But they very briefly show the AA Wonder is like way up in the atmosphere, like puppeting all of that battle going on.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see. That opens up like a whole bunch more questions like... Yeah, they're not using their own power to propel themselves and fly around. Like, this is all being done by wire work.
Yeah.
Really. It was just added things that I didn't pick up on the first time I watched it. But
I got to see that again.
A lot to digest. The mistranslation of the version we watched, too. It seems like Mari says something about going and finding Asuka at the very end in the translation that we read. But then I'm watching better screening, captures and better... translations now on YouTube, and it seems to be a reference to Shinji and not Asuka, who Mari's looking for at the end go deep.
I think that's kind of what I thought the first time.
She says something about like, "I'll always be coming for you, Mrs. Small Doll."
Yeah,
and that sounds like something very Asuka related.
Oh, okay. I get that now.
To me, but I think the mistranslation on that is she says, "I'll be coming to get you, puppy boy," which is obviously a Shinji thing.
Okay.
Right, Kevin?
Obviously.
Puppy boy.
So this was all in Japanese with no subtitles, and fans are subtitling this?
Well, at Anime Expo, they showed an English
version. They showed an officially subtitled thing. Yeah.
Okay.
But all the stuff online that I've seen so far was coming out of the screenings in Japan or France, and then being, you know, English slapped on those, somewhat incorrectly in some cases.
So anyway, I thought it was cool. I thought it was really cool how that whole opening I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was an incredible sequence. Now the only thing was the next day at the show, I kind of was talking to a lot of people about it who came by the booth.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people said the same thing, which was, yeah, it was really cool, but so was the first 10 minutes of 3.0 and look how that turned out. And I was like, what the fuck? I love that movie. Like, quit assuming I didn't like that movie. Like, what? I had that happen to me 100 times.
Yeah. People universally refer to it as, oh, yeah, it's filler. And everyone thinks it's filler. But no.
That's fucking insane to me. I love the third one. I mean, yeah. I think 2 was probably my favorite, but I still liked it. But anyway. But it was cool they did that. But what blew my mind, and I kind of said this on Twitter, was the only official presence of Evangelion on the show floor of Anime Expo, they just had the official Ava store booth, and it was just like a little 10 by 20 or however big booth full of like stationery and like
merchandise and stuff.
Merch they brought from the Ava store in Japan. Like, that was an official booth, but
it seemed
all the signs were like handmade with Sharpie and stuff like that. And I was just like, how funny that this is the official
Yeah.
How big this is, and this is the official presence right now. I thought that was just kind of funny. Weird. Yeah. Like,
and I think the Ava store's been there before.
Definitely. They definitely have.
And they always share that kind of that square of booth space with that one book reseller. It's like it's a bigger bookstore, I think.
Yeah.
But it's weird that they don't have their bigger official. I mean,
you would just think with how big Ava is and the fact that they've got Netflix behind them now, you'd think Anime Expo would have like a fucking Evangelion experience where you'd walk into Unit One or something.
Promote,
you
know what I mean? Like, I'm in used some to, bigger way.
I'm used to like Comic Con, you know, San Diego Comic Con level stuff. So in my mind, it's like I thought I'd be walking into Nerve headquarters or something, but I guess, you know. Yeah, Anime Expo. It was all just like handmade signs. Like, look at these books we brought.
It's like Sharpie on paper.
Yeah, it was like, really just odd for me. But anyway.
they got some of my money though.
Yeah. Oh, I blew a lot. Like I got a lot of stuff at their booth. I'm not complaining about their presence. But
no, happy they're there. Funny. Always.
It was just weird. But anyway,
maybe next year 4.0 will be out. They'll be embraced by the U.S. crowd even bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Get a panel going. Ono will answer your questions.
You know, didn't Ono go to an early Anime Expo? Really? Like 97 or something?
Yeah, back in the day, he was at Anime Expo, yeah.
Huh.
And then at some point in our timeline, Rocco, you and I were on a panel about Ava at Anime Expo.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind. Still people come up to me at the booth and they're like, hey, I learned about you guys through this Ava panel I went to a couple years ago. It's like, you were at that?
Yeah.
That's a moment in history they forget about.
They asked us to be on this Evangelion panel where...
Such an honor.
I don't know who was putting it on. Was it the people who put out the manga or just somebody? Anyway. But yeah, and it was cool, like being on it. I was really into it because it was just like, be on this panel and talk about like your theories about stuff. And I was really, really like excited about that. But then when people got up to do Q&A and they asked us like we wrote the show, that was like, I wasn't like ready for that. Like,
what do you think happened with this person?
Okay, when the celestial beings picked Lilith and Adam to disperse the eggs throughout the universes, it's like, whoa, this is game timeline. Like,
there was a lot of questions about like as if we wrote it, and I just was like, oh no, I was so uncomfortable at that point. It was still fun. I mean, I was stoked to be asked, but that was like too much.
Should have ran with it and made up just anything you wanted.
Yeah, it was official. I mean, could have been our little stamp on.
You could have made canon stuff then and there.
Yeah. Well, I was told by a lot of people that like, you know, in terms of like commentary on End of Evangelion, like yours is actually the best one to listen to because it actually contains the most information that's pertinent to the movie. It was just like, what the hell are you talking about? But I guess like when the voice actors from the movie did a commentary years and years ago, it didn't include a lot of that stuff. So I guess that's what they're talking
about. And as someone who's voice acted for a show, you're not always maybe the most passionate about watching it and knowing like every idiosyncrasy of every character, you know?
Yeah.
That's a job for you, most likely. Who's on that? Am I on that with you or is that just you?
On the commentary?
On the commentary.
Yeah, it was you and me.
We do so much shit
I know.
Over the years. And I know. It's like, do I conflate that with our 3.0 spoiler cast? But no, that is. Is that available still? Your
somewhere. I honestly meant to link to it as soon as it went up on Netflix, and I can't tell you where. I'll have to
way
go dig
machine,
it up.
Dude.
Yeah, because I didn't do that. But yeah, anyway, that commentary was, I think it turned out pretty good from what I can remember.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I'm glad the hype of the Netflix launch has died down with it.
Yeah.
You know, my timeline's not Ava memes.
Yeah,
constant.
It's not just constant.
Because that's the thing. Like, it was already constantly my feed is very curated to my interest. So it was already Ava stuff every day.
Yeah.
And then it went into like turbo mode the last 3 months.
Yeah.
And now it's slowing back down.
Speaking of anime on Netflix or whatever, actually, I guess this isn't on Netflix. I finally caught up with Attack on Titan.
Oh yeah.
I finished season three. The newest season just ended.
Okay.
I'm curious if anybody watching this saw it. It's funny because I've mentioned this before, but that show, I know everyone on Earth that watched the first season And then after that, it was, you know, again, it was like 4 years, but before the second season or something.
Mm-hmm. It was
and,
a long time.
And the momentum was pretty much gone. And anybody I know who has seen the show was like, I only saw that first season. Yeah. But anyway, I finished. This is the third season. It ended. And it was incredible. Like, it was unbelievable. I thought this show really was going through some of its best material. But it's funny because I mentioned earlier on in season three, I mentioned like, hey, this show is the best it's ever been. And I'm surprised more people aren't watching it. And I had a lot of people tweet at me like, oh, you know, with the controversy, I wasn't really enjoying it anymore. And I didn't really. And I was just like, what are you talking about with controversy? What are you saying? Like, I don't know what anybody's talking about. And I didn't look into it because, again, I hadn't watched the rest of the season. I'm not reading the manga, so I didn't know anything.
Anime can't be controversial. It's a cartoon.
Yeah, I didn't really know what they were talking about. And then I got to the last couple episodes of this season.
Uh-oh.
Well, I know what they're talking about now. Shit. Man, there was some imagery in that I was not quite aware where they were going to go to. I guess I won't go into it for people who haven't seen it.
Yeah, if it's spoiler,
you know, there's a lot of people kind of on both sides of this, the material that it's at now in the show, and I haven't really read into that stuff, so I don't have an opinion on kind of what they're doing with it. But when you invoke that kind of stuff, it's going to be touchy no matter what you do.
Okay.
So I was just surprised they went where they went. So see for yourself, Attack on Titan season 3 just finished.
Maybe the edginess is like, you know, any publicity is good publicity. Like, people are actually tuned in. I'm seeing in the chat alone, people are saying like, yeah, I tuned in because I heard about the controversy.
Yeah.
I'm excited because I only watched season 1 like you described earlier. And now that I'm hearing it might wrap up, when they announce like it's ending, that's when I'll go like, all right, I'll binge 2, 3, 4, however many there are.
Yeah. If you want to know more about specifically what I'm talking about too, it's a real easy Google.
Yeah.
You'll be able to find it. But but it was just kind of it surprised me.
Yowza.
Anyway.
And then they announced they're doing like one more season?
Yeah. Like, next fall is season 4, and that is the end of it.
Okay. So that is
wrapping it up.
That's great.
And I've heard from people reading the manga that it feels like it's reaching a natural conclusion right now.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's like, oh, okay, so this makes sense. It's all going to wrap up
in
the next year. But I'll be sure to check that out. Now that I'm done with season 3 of this, now I finally have the time to go back to JoJo, and I will continue that show.
Oh,
I know I left that behind. I think I watched like 8 or 9 of them or however many. So I'll get back to that.
I'm really excited for you to get deep into JoJo because I trust my style of anime best, I think, Rocco.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious if you'll think I'll like that based on...
I think you would. I think you would like...
Everyone's been telling me to watch that above anything else.
I know you pretty good. I think you'd dig it.
I already am intrigued by the musical naming references.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as a fan of rock music, all the naming references are interesting to me. But I know that has almost nothing to do with it. It's just interesting.
It's all part of the ridiculous atmosphere of the whole show, though.
And I should say I'm familiar with that first version of it that they used to air on Cartoon Network. Old show that I guess was just one certain arc, but this new one's doing the whole thing. That's one I have to do eventually.
I was going to say, Garrett, you have been watching, you're making your way finally through Dragon Ball Super, dude, right?
Just before coming here, I wrapped up I closed out my last Blu-ray box set. So the last one that just came out at the beginning of this month is the set that starts this tournament of power.
Mm-hmm.
Wild stuff, Kevin.
What's funny about that, Kevin?
You don't like
it's so
that?
Funny
that we're it's still, a tournament of power.
Let me guess. This tournament decides who's the strongest. And
yes, Kevin. Which universe?
And that Kevin? Person
Kevin.
It's on such
guy.
A grander
Kevin.
Scale.
Kevin, you know, there are multiple universes.
You don't get it, Kev.
Kevin, there are multiple universes. They can't all exist at the same time, so they have to fight to decide which one stays.
The two Zenos.
It's not that
good. I'm not saying it's a bad show. It's funny.
You better not.
The formula still works.
Well, it's not. It's different, Kevin. You know how gaming changes? Now everyone in gaming is doing these 100-player battle royale.
Yeah.
This tournament, Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, he's a fucking genius, and he's doing the same thing. This tournament is not a Budokai Tenkaichi. Okay. It is... Did I pronounce that right, Rocco?
Yes,
you did. It is a battle royale tournament of power. 80 contestants all fighting together.
To get number one?
Not just to get number one. There's a time limit. So the most standing members from a universe decides that winning universe. All other universes eliminated.
Yeah.
There can be only one.
They're out.
Okay.
And Rocco, this... I see why you said everyone is loving where the show is getting. Because I kind of thought, too, like, all right, you know, in between the arcs, it's all the fun filler that I like.
It's like cute stuff, right?
I love the cute stuff.
Well, you like when they have crossovers with, like, Dr. Slump.
Oh, my favorite episodes were, these Dr. Slump, like, gag manga episodes. Like, anytime, like, Gohan's out dressed up as Great Saiyan Man, doing goofy shit around the city. Getting to see the slice of life of, like, Krillin and Android 17, or 18, excuse me.
Yeah.
That's my headcanon where him and 17 get together on that that animal island. But no, this tournament is something better and special because it's not just the boring same tournament we've had one-on-one battles time through Dragon Ball and Z and you know where it is now.
I mean, Dragon Ball the show, the original Dragon Ball was founded on tournaments.
Yeah.
Okay. Like it was always about like the big tournament is coming. That's how the show was founded. And for Super to kind of end with that was very appropriate.
Right. But now,
it turns it on its head. It's not the same.
The possibilities that I'm seeing, because I'm in the phase where, okay, they know the tournament's coming. So they're all around Earth gathering all their best friends and all the old fighters. And it's like, oh, fuck, they're talking to Tien Shinhan and like Master Roshi's back. At like all the old characters.
That's cool.
That they kind of like brush away during Z.
Right.
They're bringing all these guys back and they hear fucking contenders. Because this battle isn't just about, even though it's a tournament of power, like they're planning strategy. And I just know what's coming up is going to be the most awesome nostalgia wave of like team up moves and stuff. Like you're going to see like Gohan, they're setting up that like Gohan and Piccolo are working on some strategy team based moves. Like Vegeta and Goku are going to be working some shit out together. You're going to see like... all the old school guys like Krillin, Tien, and Roshi probably have to utilize their old school trickery, like in a way to stay on this this big battle mat. Yeah. I don't know. Like I didn't really get where this was going. Just seeing screenshots of new characters, like oh, female Saiyans. Like I'm excited about that. That's kind of cool. See where that goes.
Yeah.
Oh, look at these aliens. Look at these weird monsters. But now, really seeing the preemptive buildup to this tournament. It's I'm very excited to get this next box set.
Yeah, they did a really good job having all these little vignettes of all these characters that didn't get them before.
Yeah.
That's what this tournament is really good at, is you'll get an episode that's just Roshi trying to pull something off on this one guy he's fighting. It's not just a massive battle the whole episode. It's little parts of this big battle. And man, it was so good. I really enjoyed it.
So I think after I get this last box set that just came out this month, the beginning of this month, the Broly movie is canon, right?
I believe so, yes.
So I think then I'll be like caught up with everything Super's released, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still going, right? It's just in an off period right now?
No, they said it was over.
Really?
They said it ended. It was just, but again, like the Broly movie continued it. So it's kind of like, oh, so they are continuing it. People are waiting to see if they're, you know, for all intents and purposes, it ended, but people are waiting to see if there's some other continuation.
Coming. Maybe some next
like
season.
Dragon Ball, not Super, but another sub name like a.
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
Maybe so. Somebody in the chat is bringing up, I lost who it was, but they said, did anybody see the Broly movie in theaters? Wasn't that a fun experience? And I think I talked about it. I went to the premiere of the movie when it came out in December. They had a premiere in LA and I got to go to that.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most fun theater experiences I've ever had. Not only because it's Dragon Ball and you know, it was half the movie was an intense, incredibly choreographed fight, but they seated me with all the fighting game, like community type guys. Like they were all these guys who played a lot of Dragon Ball Fighters and like, you know, played in tournaments, whatever, a lot of fighting game community people. I got to sit in their section, and everyone in that section treated it like it was a live fight. I was watching it, and Vegeta was getting beat up, and it was like, no, oh, come on, he'll get him back, get up, like, it was like, I don't think they can hear you, but hey, you know what, this is great, this is
so great. The energy is awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So yeah, that movie, I think some things are better, you know, there's certain things you watch by yourself or with a crowd. Recently there were people asking, you know, oh, should I wait for my friends to watch Evangelion, should I do this, should I do that? Evangelion is one of those things, hey, watch it alone. Be alone, be by yourself, take it all in. I don't think that's like a group show.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But,
right? That's like, to me, the epitome of like a solo watch is Evangelion.
That might be another reason there was such weird feedback when that came to Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think people sat in group audiences and watched that with their friends and got uncomfortable about it, the way it made them feel.
Maybe, you never know. But
do it alone in the dark.
But now I think Broly, yeah, the Broly movie, that's the opposite. Get all your friends who love DBZ in a room, get some pizzas, and fucking yell at the TV. Like, that's what that's for.
Yeah.
And wait until you get Garrett to some later stuff in this tournament. There's later episodes that they get to where, I mean, like in Mexico, they were renting out bars like a UFC fight.
I've seen GIFs of that.
Yeah, where it's like everyone just came in to like to like watch it and get pissed off about the fight. You know, it's
the
awesome.
Tournament
it's
of power.
Great. Yeah,
I can't wait. I want to sit down next to Sonic Fox. I want to watch it amongst a bunch of other fighting game winners only. And I want to scream.
I'm curious out there, people watching this, what do you think are good? I'm curious. I want to ask everyone out there, what are things that you think are better? What's something that's better watched alone? And what's something better watched with a big, loud group? Email podcast@mega64.com and send us what you think.
Hmm.
Or say it in the chat, too. What do you think is, you know, qualifies for each? Evangelion, to me, is the best solo thing in terms of, like, you should watch that alone. That would be my number one. But in terms of a group thing, yeah, I mean, people are bringing up in the chat, but like Endgame, like Avengers Endgame, I saw that in a packed theater. That to me is the only game in town. Like if I watched that by myself at home, I can't imagine I would enjoy it half as much.
You wouldn't get into it, yeah.
I don't know if there's anything else you could think of that qualifies for something that's fun with a, you know.
Jackass movies were so much fun in full theaters.
I agree with that too.
That brought an energy, and I'll say the Bruno and Borat movies too.
Yeah,
those like really wild comedies.
Yeah,
and not like a plot driven comedy, not like a The Hangover or something, but something that kind of breaks standards. Like, you know, the way the Jackass movies are filmed.
Yeah, like something so kind different. Of guerrilla that people can react to.
Yeah,
because those movies, Jackass or those Sacha Baron Cohen movies, I know they're not obviously live, but they have the same energy as a live production.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh God, what's gonna happen? Oh no, oh God, you know, like, you know what I mean? They have that same energy.
Yeah, we're in this together. So kind of thing.
Yeah, we're in this together. Exactly. That's a good way to put it. So yeah, I'm curious if anybody out there has any
email us.
Yeah. Email us. Let us know. Somebody mentioned Gone Girl. In the theater. Now, that's a movie. Now, you know, you're thinking moody, kind of David Fincher movie. You would think, oh, that's a good movie to watch alone.
Yeah.
Gone Girl in a packed audience. Oh, I can't recommend it enough. If they ever screen that somewhere, go to that. And, I don't think they're going to be doing that now. But, man, when that came out, it was just like a huge room of pissed off people. And you know that energy when used correctly is kind of fun.
See, and I like a suspenseful horror or a real shocking horror movie. I like to watch that alone.
Yeah, it's scarier alone.
Yeah, just by myself with, you know, my own, like, oh fuck. Because when shit gets uncomfortable on the screen, that's when your audience starts to like. I went and saw Midsommar on Friday.
Yeah.
And there was like a row of teenagers in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
And when shit got real, they got giggly. Because
how you break the tension.
It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah. The only thing you break the tension is joking around and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It didn't bug me as much as it usually does. Because it was a pretty empty theater.
Sometimes you want the tension, bro, because it's too much.
I loved seeing like how intense the visuals were. And then seeing their reaction down there was like...
Yeah,
such laughter and like what the fuck, like audible what the fucks, and like looking through their fingers, like not wanting to see.
Yeah,
like, damn, I haven't felt like this in a movie in forever. Yeah.
Now, I don't know what, actually, you know what? Okay, let's bring up, we'll talk more about some movie stuff. There's more movie stuff.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure.
But we should pause for a moment.
Yes.
For a couple of plugs here. I want to say thank you to this week's sponsor and a new sponsor for us, TheYeti.com.
Oh, yeah.
The Yeti. Hey, these guys, I am so happy to have them as a sponsor because this is actually new territory for me where it's, this is a sponsor that I have, I was already buying so much stuff from these guys.
I know where you're going.
Yep. Yeah.
I've bought stuff off their site before.
Yeah. And these guys have always been one of my favorite groups in terms of like the stuff that they sell, and their site is just awesome. Yeah. I've always loved these guys. TheYeti.com, they have a lot of gaming related, you know, not necessarily just gaming related, but on the fringes of, you know, just like how our stuff is, you know, we have a stuff, you know, it's a lot of stuff on the fringe of gaming culture and deep in gaming culture as well. You name it, they got it. They have great stuff. They are one of my favorite merch websites. Period.
They are awesome.
And right now you can go to their site, go to theyeti.com/mega64, and all Mega 64 fans can get 10% off the stuff on their site. Sweet. That's just for you guys. Go to theyeti.com/mega64, and any of the stuff they have on there, they gave us some of the stuff here. It's not just shirts and whatnot. Yeah, it's like,
yeah, it's like plushes.
I can't like get over there to show it, but they have like the Super Meat Boy plush they sent us, the Cuphead mug, like with the straw and all that stuff. Like,
that's a big,
they killed
straw
it on that stuff. So anyway, Boba? They nailed it. Damn. They nailed it on this stuff. All of their stuff looks so nice. So anyway, theyeti.com/mega64. Can we go to a close-up for that? Can we show the... They killed this. Look how cute that is. And they have a whole bunch of, like... They have, like, their whole collection that's kind of, like, blown-out VHS stuff, too. Oh, I love all that stuff. Anyway, theyeti.com/mega64. What's
that little hip bag thing? I want to give my
eye
on that.
Yeah, that was something that struck me as something you would like.
Ooh.
So, there you go.
And Sean and Derek aren't here, thank God.
Yeah, they don't get any of this stuff. Anyway, so check them out. And I also wanted to say shop.mega64.com is another great place to shop. If you need some more stuff on top of that, we got a whole bunch.
We got,
and in fact, we always like to do with every podcast, we like to do a 64-hour special, like a shirt that's only up for 64 hours.
Oh, yeah.
This week, we actually brought back, this was a design that we had no plans to bring back, but we thought, you know what? For 64 hours, we can bring it back. There's been a lot of sad and grisly deaths in the celebrity community lately. So this shirt actually commemorates that.
Yeah.
Because as we know, there's a huge insect problem. Wasps are out there stinging everybody. So here we have the Who's Next shirt is back only for 64 hours.
I never thought I'd saw this.
Yep. Who's Next?
That we've had a lot of requests for that. We didn't really plan to bring that back, but we thought, okay, just for a couple days, we can leave that up and, you know, see if anybody truly wants it.
Yeah.
You can have it. It's up for 64 hours.
You get a lot of feedback on that one, Kevin. People are missing
definitely. They're missing the wasps and everything like
that. People say it's reticent to the bug stunt here in the chat.
Oh, really?
But this is no stunt. This is the wasps are no laughing matter. Stunt.
Well, no, it's not good. People are dying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's not good. Who's the latest celebrity that passed away?
Rip Torn?
Yeah, Rip.
Oh, Rip
Torn.
Rip. Yeah, got bit. Rip Torn. Rip.
A wasp.
He got stung. It. Stung.
His name kind of writes the headstone itself.
Yeah. So Rip got stung. The blueberry girl?
Oh,
the blueberry.
Wait, from Willy Wonka?
From Willy Wonka. Yeah. She passed away too.
Violet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you guys actually hear the recording of the... Did you guys actually hear the eulogy?
No.
No.
It was actually pretty impressive. Okay. The eulogy at her funeral.
How'd it go?
I'll repeat it here.
Yeah.
Oompa loompa doopadee-dee. Oh, sorry. I've been told.
That's in poor taste.
I'm sorry.
She was just bit by a wasp, and then you come here with
like
that.
A blueberry and then died.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was in poor taste.
They had to take her down, have her pressed and squeezed.
Sorry about that. Okay. All right, I apologize. Okay. Back to movie talk. We're talking about movies.
Yeah.
That Midsommar.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was that coming out or what, but I was on a horror kick this week. I was like, you know what? I haven't seen any good horror movies in a while. I'm going to catch up. There's a lot I haven't seen. So I'm going to catch up. I'm going to get up to speed on the latest horror stuff. So I watched Hereditary. I had not seen it. I didn't know one single thing about Hereditary. So I went into it ice cold.
That's good.
And I thought it was fucking garbage.
That's bad.
So did not like that. Then I saw the new Halloween. The new Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see this.
I didn't
see it. You didn't see it.
No.
What's her name? Who's the lead actress?
Laurie Strode?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
She was great in it. Didn't enjoy the movie. It was not good.
It was just a typical slasher.
Well, it just didn't spend a lot of... I didn't feel like I'd spend enough time on her.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like, this is her story. Let's stick with her, but no. So, nix that. All right. Then I checked out the new It. Turned it off halfway through because I fucking hated that too. So, horror, not for me. I felt like the half of It that I saw, I'm not going to review It because there's no point. I didn't see the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I felt like every 90 seconds, it needed to go out of its way to do some ugly CGI thing. Like, it was like, okay, let's spend time with the characters. Wait. It's been a minute since. Okay, now we can go back to the characters now. Okay. Okay, the kids are talking to each other. Wait, oh no, what's around the... Oh, it's in the library. It's got... Gone. Okay, it was just like this repeated jumpy thing, so I just turned it off. Did you guys see it? Or?
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't like any of the other ones.
I just felt like it was at this rhythm that was incredibly annoying, so yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It didn't bug me. I'm more excited for... I just saw the trailer for the second half of It. Where the kids are now grown up.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted... That looked cool to me, so that's why I wanted to check it out.
That looks better, because It, to me, was just like, all right, I mean, I like the original film for what it was, especially growing up with it, but this new one was like, it's okay, you know. I saw it, it was all right. The second one gets me a little more interested. I like the actor choices.
Yeah, I love the cast of the new one, so that's why I wanted to check it out. And maybe I'll watch the rest of it later. It was just at that moment, I was getting real tired of its tricks. So maybe I'll watch the rest, but I turned it off and turned on Batman.
Which one? Cleanse your palate.
Check it out. Batman 1989. Check it out. The Joker. Oh, man. Jack Nicholson. In case you guys haven't heard of it. Woo!
Made a licensing deal.
In case you haven't heard of The Joker.
Got rich off of that role.
So I watched that, and then that just, like, they re-released that in, like, 4K or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, so I checked that out.
So you danced with the devil in the pale moonlight last night?
Yeah, I did.
Congrats. In 4K, Kevin.
Yeah.
4K, jeez.
Yeah, you could really see a lot of things that you shouldn't have seen.
Like makeup?
Makeup, strings, you name it. Man, strings? You could see it all.
Wait, is Bob not his number one guy anymore?
Oh, no, Bob is still number one.
Okay, good.
I remember having it. Good. I remember wanting, when that came out, like, you know, way back in the day, I remember I really wanted figure, you know, like, they sold toys.
Yeah.
You know, the Batman figures. I want to say they were by, like, Toy Biz or something.
I think you're right.
I don't know, but... They put out these Batman toys, and I really wanted them. I was like, dude, I loved Batman at that time, so I really wanted all those. And the only one my dad could find, I think they were sold out. He got it was Bob the Goon.
Oh my god!
That's what they named him as. It was the Joker's right hand guy.
Yeah,
Bob the Goon. And I remember my dad specifically. I have the earliest memory. I don't know how old I must have. I mean, I was only. I don't know, but anyway, I remember him coming in the room. Hey, sorry, all I could find was Bob the Goon. But I played with Bob the Goon. I was like, I couldn't have been separated from that toy of the ugly man with a hat.
Yeah, he had that newsies cap.
Yeah, no, I think it was like more like a fedora.
Oh, it was? Okay.
I thought it was. Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Picturing Bob now.
So anyway, that was so anytime he pops up in the movie, I laugh about that. Those are my memories of the summers playing with Bob the Goon.
How'd Bob the Goon look in 4K?
Oh, crystal clear, every pore of see every it. Sweat drop.
He has a scar down the side of his face.
Yeah.
It's an added character effect.
It was so long, it took me so many years before I realized that Billy Dee Williams, you know, he plays like an important political role in that movie. Mm-hmm. And it was way into my life that I realized he's Harvey Dent. Like, that movie starts and it's like, yeah, okay, here comes Harvey Dent. Hey, everybody. And it's like, Billy Dee Williams was going to be Two-Face Harvey Dent?
Yeah. I forgot about that, too.
That makes me sad. I would have loved, honestly, would have loved to see his Billy Dee, Lando Calrissian's version of Two-Face.
I think we got a great Two-Face. I think we got with the Riddler and Two-Face and everything like that.
Yeah. Mm.
They've had two chances.
Two-Face and the Riddler, where their direction is just be crazy.
Yeah, scream.
It's two guys going, wah, wah, wah,
wah. Be crazier than the other guy. And it's just builds and builds and builds.
Yeah.
Into insanity levels. And then you get Jared Leto mailing ammunition and dead rats through the U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah. Yeah, it all led up to that.
They set the groundwork.
Are you going to see the new Joker when that comes out?
Yeah, I will.
I don't know. I haven't seen any Batman stuff since the Nolan stuff.
If I hear really good stuff, I'll go.
You didn't see Batman versus Superman, Kevin?
No. Nope.
Where Batman wore a trench coat in the broad daylight?
Yeah.
I don't care for... I always say I don't care for DC stuff until they get kind of weird. Then it's like... I think, honestly, of the DC stuff, what I've liked the most was probably recently, like... Suicide Squad, maybe.
Yeah.
Just because it was so different than, like, all right, we're not doing Batman, Superman, Justice League. We're not trying to mimic Marvel. Let's do our own thing. And this Joker movie looks like, hey, we're doing our own thing here.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix, make it creepy, make it artsy. Like, all right.
I don't know if I'm buying it just yet, but if I hear good stuff, I like Joaquin Phoenix, so whatever. If I hear good stuff, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
But let it be not forgotten that I thought Shazam was great.
Yeah, Shazam was a fun movie.
That's true.
I keep forgetting that came out this year. I don't know why. It feels like it's been like a generation since that came out. But I really enjoyed that movie. That was like one of the ones I enjoyed somehow the most this year. Was because it was just a purity to that movie. You know what I mean? It was just like really like pure and happy and fun. I don't know. I really dug it. I did see yesterday.
Oh, I'm curious about
that. I saw yesterday the movie about the guy who forgot the guy forgot the Beatles.
Everyone
in the world remembers the Beatles except for one guy.
Okay.
And they have to tell him about it.
Is it like a Mandela effect kind of thing in the plot? Is there weird shit going on?
Something happens. There's like solar flares or something that nuke the world for a minute. And in that flare, a bunch of stuff is forgotten.
Okay. We're getting quantum with the universe here, it sounds.
And I will say one thing that I liked about this movie is that it wasn't just the Beatles, like for convenience's sake. Throughout the movie, he's the only one that remembers the shit. And over the course of the movie, he starts to realize more stuff that's missing. And that aspect I actually really liked where, you know what I mean? Like he'll be somewhere, he goes to a restaurant and he's like, can I just get a Coke? And they're like, what? And he's like, what? Let me get a Coke. And they're like, you know, fuck off. Like,
yeah.
And then he starts Googling Coke and it's like, oh, that's gone too. Shit. You know? That aspect of the movie was cool. I'm glad they stuck with that, where throughout it, things kept like piecing together that, oh, that's missing too. Oh, that's missing too.
Nice.
But they still have Pepsi, so who got money in that deal?
What world is this?
Yeah, so he goes to hell. This is a story about a guy who goes to hell.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was fucking corny. Like, the movie is bad. but I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Like, I was in, like what Derek calls fuck it mode.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it in that way. It was like cute, dumb movie. Like I had to
get into that mood.
Yeah. It goes like a terribly predictable love story direction.
Is there a lot of Beatles music?
I was just going to say, did they license any Beatles music? Cool.
And that actually surprised me. The end credits, they play Hey Jude, the straight up original recording. So that's what I was thinking. I was like, that had to be like half the budget right there.
Oh yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I always hear about the most expensive songs to license. I've always heard were like that and Immigrant Song,
Oh, really?
Yeah, Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Which, I mean, they play that in the Marvel movies, so it's not like you can't afford these things, but that just surprised me. It's like, oh, I thought they would have gotten skirted around that. But anyway. Anyway, it was cool. It was what it was.
Yeah.
It was Dumb. It was dumb. But I had a good time. Like I said, in fuck it mode. They pull something off. Does anyone care about spoilers for this?
For that? No.
No, I'm okay.
Okay, I mean, chat. Does anybody care about spoilers? Because there was one thing that shocked me in this movie.
Paul was in it.
No. No one cares about spoilers. Okay, guys, I'm going to spoil.
Paul's
when
dead.
You see me raise my cane like that, I'll be done spoiling yesterday. They meet a beetle in the movie.
Oh, really?
There is
oh.
a shock in the movie.
Okay. Interesting.
That after all the confusion, all the hell that this guy goes through with, like, is he doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Taking credit for all the Beatles songs. He visits John Lennon.
Oh, of all of
that's
them.
That's in the movie.
John is still alive.
And they actually did it. And it's, I don't know if it was CG. I think it was just makeup. And it looks pretty good.
Really?
They visit old John Lennon, and it's like, not too bad.
He's just an artist in this.
And I don't know. People are asking if they spoil that in the trailer. I don't know if they did. I didn't really look. And they won't say who the actor was that played him.
Oh, conspiracy.
Yeah.
Still alive.
So, oh, yeah. Add to the conspiracy. But that part got a gasp from the audience.
It was oh, like, I bet.
I didn't think this dumb movie was going to take a risk like this. And then all of a sudden, it's like, and it was actually, it was surprising. So anyway.
That's cool.
John Lennon, Vincent Price,
yeah.
Elvis, Jim Morrison. They're all hanging out right now laughing.
I'm telling you, man. I think it was actually John. It looked good.
They're like, yeah, John got in a movie.
But anyway, that's all. Okay, I'm done spoiling yesterday.
Oh, wave it.
There it is, everybody. We're done.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of movie talk.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to Spider-Man or...
Did you see...
I saw that today.
You too. Did? Oh, okay.
I didn't see it.
I've been... You know, we were so freaking busy with the lead up to Anime Expo and RTX, with the live show and everything else, just the packing for the cons. Now we're kind of like... We're a little bit ahead of the game getting ready for our own backyard con, Comic-Con, this week.
Yeah.
But I've just been spending as much time as I can relaxing in the calm between these two storms. Yeah. So I went and saw like three movies this last 2 days. But I saw Spider-Man. Really, really enjoyed that. That was fun.
Real quick, Midsummer though, you liked it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I didn't like it as much as Hereditary. I liked Hereditary a little more just because I think you see a lot of visually jarring supernatural stuff. Yeah. So I felt like in Hereditary, when you saw that supernatural stuff, it was executed in a well-done way. It wasn't executed in a way that I thought was like overly CG and took me out of the film. It was like shocking, and I liked that element.
Yeah.
This seemed very similar,
okay.
Less of that supernatural visualization.
Sure.
It was more a lot of the same like sound design and like even the sound of the score. When it would get intense and when things would sound very similar. Weird, this actor or this director has a thing with like a little like audible tick. Like there's a thing like in Hereditary that girl had that knock noise she always made.
Yeah.
There's something like that in Midsummer too. And it's very similar in how
it
goes deep into the relationship of this group.
Yeah.
Whereas like Hereditary was the relationship of this family. So it hit all these kind of notes that I wanted from that director.
Yeah.
I just liked Hereditary a little bit more.
Yeah.
But still was good. I did love how it made that row of teenagers in front of me all uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's good. With Spider-Man, wait, what else did you see other than Spider-Man?
I've been watching just a bunch of shit at home now and it's kind of a blur at this point. A lot of Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, okay. Well, but Spider-Man. Now,
yeah,
I'm going to ask what you thought of it. I was going to try to see it today. I'll get into it in a second why I didn't, but I haven't yet. Now, I'm curious what you thought. Are we going to get the first negative Marvel review in Garrett history? Here it is, Garrett.
No negativity. I only preach the happiness.
Man.
Thank you, Stan Lee. Thank you to the Marvel team. Damn. This is the first Lee-less film.
What?
No Stan Lee cameo.
Oh.
I did notice that.
They didn't want to CG him or do something.
No, they didn't do anything like that. I was waiting the whole time.
I'm curious out there, actually, if other people... I'm curious what other people think about this. I kind of feel like they shouldn't have even included the one in Endgame.
It was weird.
I thought that was really, like, whack. Like, I thought that was, like, a waste. And I feel like... The last one that had come out with him in it, well, maybe my timing is off. He was in Captain Marvel. I didn't see it, so I forgot about that. Okay. But I was going to say, his cameo in Enter the Spider-Verse, Into the Spider-Verse, sorry, mm-hmm. not Enter, I'm thinking of Enter the Dragon.
Oh, the animated version. Yeah.
Was such a wonderful little moment. And I thought, leave it at that. I know that's not the Marvel Studio thing, but I just didn't think... I thought the thing in Endgame was like...
A little too much?
They de-aged him and he yelled something out a window. It was just like, you didn't need to include that. That's okay.
It was... It's just weird when the final thing is a de-aging CG move, like with Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
It's just weird that's the final... Oh, that's the final scene? It's a cartoon. It's PlayStation 1 graphics.
But anyway, when you were saying the new movie was Leeless, I thought you were talking about like Lilu or something. I was like, Fifth Element shit? What is this?
Yeah.
But now, the Spider-Man, though.
Spider-Man European Vacation. It was good.
You liked it?
It was your run-of-the-mill Marvel movie. It's got all the humor that the Marvel movies have in them to keep it fun. J.B. Smoove, I did not know was in this, a comedian who I really like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he had a lot of funny... kind of carry the jokes along in the action. Overall good Spider-Man style story. It fit right in line with the last one, and it fits right in line with Marvel having this flowing continuity of like, this is after Endgame. This is the movie starts, the opening of the movie is I think my favorite part of it.
Interesting.
I don't want to give anything away, but the opening scene is really funny.
I really just wanted to see it mostly because I always loved Mysterio. I always thought that was a cool villain.
Yeah, I didn't know anything. I still don't know anything really about Mysterio. So mysterious. There were nods to other stuff in like the Marvel comic universe that I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. Without spoiling stuff there too, there was something from a little mini series of comic books who I really liked collecting. Mm-hmm. The little nod to that, one of Spider-Man's new suits in this movie is like a nod to old comic book side stories and stuff.
Okay.
There were cool little things for Marvel fans in this movie.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Hopefully by the next time we do this, I'll talk about it. I'll be able to talk about it more.
Yeah. And I'll go a little deeper in the spoilers if it's a little later on.
Yeah.
I feel a little more comfortable.
There's something about to come out that I was like, this is what I was waiting to see. Oh, the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. Quentin Tarantino's movie.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm curious. That's kind of the next thing I'm looking forward to.
It's got like all this. I didn't know there's all this Charlie Manson stuff in the movie. So now I'm way more. I'm already on board for Tarantino thing, but now I'm like, I'm very interested in where this goes. Like, what story are they telling with this? This character in it.
Yeah,
should be good.
I'm stoked for that.
Did you guys? I kind of brought up all the Switch shit I was playing. Was there any other stuff you guys were playing this week or anything?
I'm so bad because I'm just back in on my PSP Go.
Yeah,
PSP Go.
Yeah, PSP Go.
You busted that out at Anime Expo, didn't you?
And not just for looks.
Just like, wait, what?
I didn't want street cred or anything, but as soon as I did bust it out, people were like, "What are those?" Kind of like, I haven't seen that in 10 years. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. But hey, you talked about like the portability of the Switch and taking it around.
Yeah.
For me, it's the size of the device. Like even the Vita, the Vita was so big, I never took it around with me.
I did. I got big pockets, so I had no problem with the
cloaks.
Vita, but I didn't appreciate. I mean, it wasn't ideal. But let me tell you, that PSP Go, I fucking loved that thing.
It was so good. The design,
the ecosystem
was so
around
good.
It, that wasn't so hot. But man, the device itself, it was just right there in my pocket next to my iPhone, and you couldn't even notice it. It was great. And I had it primarily just to have all my PS1 and PSP games. It was great.
I just have like all my favorite PlayStation 1 games on it, but fuck those. I haven't even been booting those up because I just restarted playing Peace Walker.
I was just going to say, of
when
course,
we were at AX,
you have to be playing Peace Walker.
Yeah, And now that's all I'm doing, there's something about having like a portable gaming device. Like, I got my cell phone, and there's a ton of like that new Dr. Mario game just came out, and I'm playing that and having fun with that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's something about the device being made to function as one thing, a gaming device, or like when we used to carry around the flip camcorders.
Yeah.
It's like this thing is made to be a camcorder.
Yeah.
I tend to use it more rather than go to my Swiss Army knife of a cell phone that's like a camcorder, social media machine, a video game player. Yeah. Like, I'd rather, I don't know, something about the hardware of getting something tactile that's made just for gaming in my hands.
Plus, it has buttons.
Yeah, it's got real buttons. I'm just having fun living 10 years in the past.
I think I'll have to disagree when it comes to like cameras and stuff. Like, to me, once that all started moving into the phone, I was like, fuck that. I don't have to carry that anymore. Like, once everything moved into one device, I was very happy about that. But gaming is the exception. I gotta have something like a dedicated game system. I just don't play games on my phone.
Did you try that new, anybody try Super Mario or Dr. Mario World, I think it's called?
Is that a, did that come
out?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the mobile game. No.
I never played Super Mario Run. Just because I saw the fact that, like, hey, this is like Flappy Bird. Like, that's not my type of gameplay. Uh-huh. But I love Dr. Mario. Dr. Mario. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I was always playing that on my NES Classic. That was like the only thing I would play on there.
Yeah.
But now that they put that out for the iOS and Android, it's called Dr. Mario World.
Yeah.
And it's like just mini games. It's kind of weird. It's like an inverted version of Dr. Mario. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of drag the pieces to where you want them to go.
Yeah.
Instead of just letting them free fall. Mm-hmm. So it changes up the way you play, but the core mechanics are Dr. Mario. And then you go around the world map. I haven't figured out how they try to microtransact you yet, but I have a good time playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp without ever spending a dime on it. So I know there's a way to play the Nintendo stuff where you don't have to microtransact. Now, if you get hooked, though,
then you're in.
Then that's how they got you.
Yeah.
With fucking Pokemon, man. I always bought 99 cents worth of Pokeballs.
No, but you just go out and get them. You just walk around.
I couldn't move around that much. I was stuck at work, Kevin.
He was paralyzed.
You can only hit the block across and you just gotta, walk down to Starbucks on break.
Spin those Pokestops.
Shit. I'm not playing that, though. I'm done with Niantic. Yeah. They're onto that Harry Potter
shit. Yeah, I was going to say, isn't there a Harry Potter thing now?
But yeah, I didn't know about that. My girlfriend plays the fuck out of it.
Really? Oh, really?
It's the same thing, but just...
No kidding.
Strip out all the Pokemon, like, mythology, I guess.
Yeah.
And layer it with the Harry Potter assets and Harry Potter storyline. And you're, like, going around doing the same thing. But instead of Pokemon, you're catching confoundables. And instead of, like, throwing, like... the Pokeball by swiping in a straight line, you like trace a line that it gives you on your phone, like a spell with your wand. Mm. You trace your finger, like make a zigzag, make a circle with a dot in the middle. Yeah. It's like same shit though.
Damn. I didn't know. All I know is that they did a promo for the game where it looks like someone's security camera caught Dobby outside their house.
That was for the fucking game?
Yes. Yeah, and really? it got clipped out on Twitter, and then a billion people were going, oh my God, what is this? What what is this footage? It's from a promo.
I didn't even know that was game promo, because that went viral as, look at this little alien. Someone found an alien. And then people are going, no, it's clearly CG. You could tell here and here.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was a tie-in for the game.
Man.
Yep.
Jesus. I know some people from Rooster Teeth got like free phones and headphones and shit like that, because they got some sponsored ad. But I didn't see any other promo than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of weird shit, are you guys hip to all this Area 51 stuff?
Yeah. I'm a Kyle, and I'm drinking my Monster Energy right now for that 10% buff.
I don't know what it's about. I just see a ton of stuff about Area 51 right now, and I still don't know
what
it's
about. Dude, you're going to be with the Naruto runners.
You're not on the inside.
Can you Naruto run, Kevin?
Kevin's out.
No, I can't.
All right. You're going to have to hang back in squad B.
When is everyone going there?
Yeah,
to like storm it.
Well, I heard that the plan is to meet up at like a resident, or like a
Denny's,
but like for alien fans.
You know the Denny's right near Area 51.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think they've had like 500,000 people say they're coming.
I mean, this could get problematic when people actually show up to that first meeting place, but then people are like, well, how far do we take the joke? Like, all right, let's start walking.
Yeah.
And then you get into some group mob mentality. It worked in
Independence Day.
They shoot people on site, though, Kevin.
Well, not in Independence Day. They just, all those RVs just showed up and they were chilling there.
Yeah, and they couldn't do anything then, so yeah. I think they're screwed now.
Yeah.
Area 51's going to have to buckle.
Oh, my God. We're going to have closed cast get funerals for some of these kids who are going to get popped by the federal government. I mean, if you say you're coming in hot and you're going to run, first of all, running with your arms behind you,
yeah,
bad move. Because there's probably invisible barbed wire.
Isn't that what they said they're going to do?
Naruto running is a tactic used by placing your arms behind you and running as fast as you can, kind of leading with the nose and forehead.
Yeah.
Bad idea, though, for that. The government's got invisible barbed wire, trip wires.
Yeah, you don't want to get involved in that. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to say everyone, just stay home.
They're probably going to send out those Boston Dynamic type robots from some underground lab next door to Area 51.
Oh, yeah. Boston Dynamics, Cambridge Analytica, they'll be there.
It's going to be...
They're just going to fuck with your info.
It's going to go bad for the civilians out there that think they know what's going to happen. They think they're going to get into Area 51 and
figure out what's in there?
They want to see some aliens. They want to save...
You don't get it.
I know about Area 51. I just don't get why
clearly you don't.
It's blowing up right now.
Because all these people are saying we got to go down there and free the aliens out. So everyone's going to do it. It's not even worth it.
I like that Area 51's a secret.
What?
I love it.
No.
I love that that's always been like Area 51. I love that it was like Independence Day and everything.
Do you even know what it is?
But the government's keeping you in bondage by harnessing that alien technology.
I don't want to know.
Joy being a sheep, I guess.
Oh, well. I don't have to know.
Satanic.
Do you even know what Area 51 is? Garrett, do you remember when we all went to In-N-Out once years ago?
I'll never forget this.
And someone ordered animal style and it like was completely wrong.
Yeah.
I've never had any issues with In-N-Out.
Never.
Every time I've had an order, I've never had them get it wrong. And then one time they did. We ordered animal style and it was all screwed up. And then we went back and was like, well, what happened here? And they were like, well, do you know what animal style is? And it was like, ew, goodbye.
The lady working at that. Well, there were attitudes on both sides. I think someone in our party had some attitude towards the In-N-Out waitress.
Yeah.
But the In-N-Out waitress did reply back, do you even know what animal style is?
It was said just like the Matrix. It was just like, do you even know what animal style is?
Because, I mean, from her perspective, it's a secret menu item. Yeah. Some might not know.
Yeah.
Some uninitiated might not know.
I think every In-N-Out know what that is now, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you ask for, like, monkey style, I still expect some confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Have you ever done that?
No,
I've heard of it, though.
What? Yeah. That's real?
Monkey style.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they put fries on your burger. Isn't that what it was?
That's,
I think so. I don't know.
No. Monkey just ask style. For fries on the
and then
burger.
Yankee style is they give you a cup of buffalo sauce. Bitch style
they
is
have buffalo
they,
sauce?
They have to dump chili on you. On
I
your
don't say
burger.
Bitch to the employee.
And then
I don't want to say a
what was
curse.
It? Django Fett style is they just hand you a bag with nothing in it. I don't remember.
These, I thought you were going Django Unchained.
There's one that
see
no.
So hey, I go order it. Yeah, animal style fries on your burger. We have to go get it.
Yep.
You know, the only time I ever have done something secret is at Jamba Juice. I got the pink Starburst.
Oh,
have you ever done secret?
Oh, yeah, you can ask for a pink Starburst drink, right?
Yeah,
like Starburst.
So did
like
they
a
do
pink
it?
Yeah, I looked on a website and I got the courage up to.
Yeah.
Okay, I might look like an idiot because half of the time I think like this is all nomenclature that maybe they don't know at this chain, but I was like pink strawberry. Sure enough, she hit one button in her menu, so it's obviously in that menu. Pink strawberry or pink Starburst. Here you go.
Yeah, wow,
it was
damn.
Good.
There's got to be a secret menu at In-N-Out where they make a shake with a burger in it.
Yeah, like a meat.
There's
got
to be
right
where they just put the burger in it and whir it up like that. Like
that's
cannibal style.
Dolphin style, or no, I don't know.
I don't know what it would be, but that's got to be on
style.
There.
Just calling it style, like, see,
Artie Lang style. Thank
it's
you.
It's too sexual. Style has a sexual connotation of like a position.
Animal style. Does,
whenever
I
what do you think about when you hear animal
out.
Style?
When I hear style, I think I have style. Thank you.
What about dog style?
That's an album.
Okay.
Dude, I went my whole life not knowing that was anything, but not my whole life.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm not.
You don't want to.
I was going to make a terrible joke
about
something Derek said once.
Yeah,
but I'm not that misinformed.
I knew where you were going.
Yeah. No, but for many years, I was just like, no, what was it? I think I was in like eighth, I want to say it was like eighth grade, and like eighth grade, like Washington, D.C. field trip, and some kid got like porn to play on his TV. Like,
yeah.
Hey, come in my hotel room. Look, look, it's kind of unscrambled, you know, stupid thing. And I remember going in there, we were like, whoa. And then he was like, yeah, check it out, doggy style. And I was like, in my head, I was like, isn't that a Snoop Dogg album? Why does he keep bringing that up? No. Oh.
That's what the Snoop Dogg album was. It was named
after, that was like a huge revelation. Yeah.
You are right, though. When I think of doggy style, that's just, that's sex. But
yeah.
When I think of animal style, it does not even occur to me.
Yeah, it doesn't even occur to me. Because guess what? In-N-Out, for all you haters, is better than sex. So I ain't thinking about that shit. Yeah, sorry, haters. I could see how if you've only had Whataburger, maybe boning is better.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
but animal us style. In-N-Out boys don't need that stuff.
No.
That's why we stay virgins and for life, and that's not a joke.
I'd rather have it at In-N-Out, get that bitch style you're talking about. They dump chili on me. That's
no, on you, not even on the burger. No, on no. You.
They legally have to.
Yeah, and that's kind of my fetish anyways. Like, I like being bossed around.
Dude, so that's a good idea. I'm going to put some videos. I'm going to put some bitch style videos on my personal channel.
Dump chili on me, piss on me, beat me.
You know, I think that's what I, because lately I've been like, damn, it's been a while since I put some like good vids on my personal channel. So I'm kind of trying to up it lately. But that's what I need to do is more fake fetish videos. Just like in a shower, dumping chili on myself.
Oh, yeah. I can help you out with that.
Someone will enjoy it, I'm sure.
I'll give you some stats on not getting demonetized for that, too.
Okay.
Dumping salsa on your feet?
Yeah. I know some pro strats to get by the sensors.
Pro strats. Oh, that's good to know.
Show feet strats. Yeah, man. Bitch style. I might get that for dinner tonight.
So, yeah. Dude, feeling I think we horny, need to try dog. Monkey style.
Dude, I didn't know that was a real thing.
I can't order that.
You wouldn't get monkey with the animal style fries on top
of a
burger.
I don't even get animal style. I don't like ordering secret menu stuff at In-N-Out.
Really?
What?
I just don't like
that. I have to get it. Fries.
Well, it's not on the menu.
Fries I don't eat if they're not animal style.
Wow.
I don't really like their fries. But
In-N-Out's fries I think are good.
They're fresh.
But they are not my favorite. No. I agree. I agree to a level of criticism on the fries. But when people say like they're garbage, I won't eat them. I don't agree with that. But they're not my favorite. And if I got them, I would get them animal style.
I got to cover them with the sauce, grilled onions.
I'll go as far as saying when my girlfriend wants me to pick up In-N-Out and she always gets animal style fries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's like you, Kev. She won't eat regular fries. And I'm upset having to order that off of the
speaker box. Why does it upset you?
Because it's not on the menu.
But they know it. They know it immediately. There's
it's
no
pretty
confusion.
Much. I mean, it might as
but
well.
But they something in their mind goes, oh, look at this pretentious motherfucker here.
No, that's
ordering
not it.
Shit like a local. He thinks he's
Garrett,
local.
I think ordering every other person orders animal stuff.
I don't
think you have anything
and,
to worry
and
about.
And Deborah's in that booth with the headset on going, look at this basic bitch from San Diego ordering another animal style side.
That's insane. I don't
keep
think
it
think
simple,
they,
man.
They get probably 90% of their orders are animal style.
Yes,
so I agree. I think it's good.
I'm here to balance that out. I'm trying to sway it back.
You got the one percenter over here.
That's how I roll.
By the way, Brian is on the boards tonight running the show. Thank you, Brian, for doing your thing. And thank you for chiming in on the debate, Brian, in full agreement that Garrett's thoughts are insane.
I did try a regular burger recently, though. Like, just straight, hey, give me a hamburger.
Regular In-N-Out burger, right?
No, a cheeseburger. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. That's
but they keep the onions straight. They don't grill them up and everything. And it was good as hell.
Yeah,
In-N-Out is fucking awesome.
Everything's good.
I prefer it. I prefer the animal style.
Yeah, me too.
Wow.
Wasn't there... There was a shakeup recently with Whataburger. I know there's a lot of Whataburger fans out there, and I'm not throwing shade. Okay,
Don't rub salt in the wound.
There was stuff I liked at Whataburger.
Yeah,
just
the chicken
not the
honey
burger.
Biscuit was great.
But they got bought by like some big Fortune 500.
Yeah,
thing?
Some big
Uh-oh.
Corporation. That
Whatever.
Owns a bunch
and there's
of other
a lot of talk they might spread everywhere,
a
and
hedge
some people
fund.
Are not feeling too good about this. So I'm curious what people out there are feeling.
Like the burgers, you got to go low and slow. You got to cook them low and slow. You got to spread out. In-N-Out took like 6 years to just dip their toes into Texas. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was like slowly but surely. Like, we'll only move if we can maintain freshness, if we can source
they
don't organic.
Freeze it. Yeah. They need the trucks to be able to truck it over there.
Got to find it locally. Yeah. So they go slow. This expansion of Whataburger sounds like it could spell the end.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what people out there think about that. Or has anything changed? You let us know. I still haven't had Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Still haven't tried it.
And Freddy's here.
Freddy's is here. You're right.
You tried it in Utah. Yeah. We've never tried it here.
Okay. Some people are talking about Bojangles, too, and I've never been. I don't think there's anywhere near any of them near here. Yeah, Bojangles, I'm hearing, is good. But I don't think it's a burger place.
Okay.
Is it? I don't know. People out there, you'll have to tell me.
Sounds like they got jambalaya.
What is Bojangles? I don't know. It's chicken, right?
Okay.
It's chicken and biscuits.
To me, it sounded like one of those restaurants where you sit down and they throw straws at you
and stuff
like that. you made that up. That doesn't, no.
Give you some Bazooka Joe and throw a straw at you.
But I will try Shake Shack. I heard Shake Shack had a burger made of like beets.
What?
And some people was telling me it was good.
Did
I don't know.
Killer tofu?
Yeah. I don't know. I need more allowance. But I'll have to check that out. Maybe in the next week or so. We got San Diego Comic-Con coming this week, which, by the way, I want to let everybody know, if you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, one of the biggest conventions in the world,
huge,
but it's hard to promote on here sometimes because it's so hard to get tickets that when I bring it up on our podcast or our stream, people are like, I ain't going to that.
No one's coming.
Yeah. A lot of people on here can't go, but if you are going, by any chance, if this reaches the people who are going, we will be there all weekend long, booth 1435 all weekend. And we're bringing all the exclusive stuff we had at Anime Expo and RTX, the SummerCon stuff that you wanted us to have. We're bringing all of it to San Diego Comic Con. So be sure to stop by the booth.
We got those socks. We got those dad hats.
Yeah, we got everything.
All the hot items.
Dude, and even, you know, like we had like the Death is Certain shirt.
Oh my God.
That was a 64-hour special. That wasn't even like a con exclusive or anything. But we actually printed another run of them just for the conventions because we heard a lot of people wanted it.
Yeah.
We couldn't keep them in stock. Like that shirt is a phenomenon.
So
I don't know what's going
popular.
On.
I saw someone in Target.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Rocco.
Oh, really?
Someone stopped me yesterday. They're like, "Hey, Garrett."
No kidding.
Just want to say hi. I was like, "Oh, hey, what's up, man?"
It's truly unbelievable.
Had the Death is Certain shirt on. It was great.
It's truly unbelievable. So we will have one more batch of those at San Diego Comic Con, as well as all the other exclusive stuff that we mentioned before, and our San Diego Comic Con panel, which I believe is called Fear the Mega 64 panel, is going to be Friday night at 7:30 p.m.
It's like Fear the Band.
Yeah, check out our website, has all the info. I forget what room it's in.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It's like 5AB. There you go. Cool. Thank you. That'll be, Friday night at 7:30. So be sure to come to our panel. It's going to be a lot of fun. And San Diego Comic-Con, we'll be there all weekend. Come visit us. And I want to say, everyone at home, if you're looking for a little, you know, I want some entertainment too. What's going on? Patreon.com/Mega64 is a great place to engage with Mega64 and get extra stuff. And tonight we just put up a special Super Mario Maker 2 episode, a friend mentioned, where Derek put us through his gauntlet of levels that he made. God.
He talked all about how the trip to RTX gave him time to make these Super Mario Maker 2 levels.
Gnarly ones.
Yes.
He chewed us up and spit us out. That was a fun recording, too.
Yeah, and man, where it goes, oof. The last level that he made was not...
Dude, House of a Thousand
Nightmares.
I'm going
to go on record and say, fuck that. Anyway, it's all on patreon.com/mega64, so check it out, please. And see what you think. It's an extra long episode, and it's a fun episode.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot more bonus video stuff coming to our Patreon soon. I've rounded up a whole bunch of fun stuff that you guys are really going to enjoy. So check it out.
I had a lot of fun playing Super Mario Maker levels.
Yeah, and I didn't pick up the game. I didn't buy it. Kind of playing it just for that, I was like, yeah, maybe I should.
That made me interested because I got a lot of friends who were posting on their social media like levels they're making.
Yeah, because you can just post the code and then download it.
Yeah, right? And if I don't want to make stuff, I could just do what I did with the first one and just play other people. That's all I really did in the first one.
And but, isn't there a single player now? A story mode.
That's
There is. And
interesting too.
Yeah, my brother was playing it and he's like, yeah, you might actually like it. I mean, it's a Mario game. And I'm like, shit, Maybe I need to get this.
So, and at the time of our recording, that insane level that Derek made, the House of a Thousand Nightmares, no one had beaten it.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw, because Derek's even promoting this level of his on his social media.
Yes.
He made a poster.
Yeah, you're welcome to look up Derek's Twitter.
Check it out.
If you want to actually play this level, he's got the info there.
You should, if you, especially after watching the episode on Patreon,
download
that level and check it out. Yeah. But someone, the first person, has beaten it.
Somebody did beat it.
I saw him congratulate the first person out there to beat it. So it is possible. You can't upload a level if you can't beat it yourself, in fact, which is a nice little feature there.
So Derek had to beat that before
Derek
he
had
he
to beat
did,
it.
And God, Lord knows how, I don't know, how the hell did he do it? I don't know.
Luck.
But
dedication.
But yeah, as you said, there's two clears now, like two.
Oh, really?
Two clears. And I'm not sure, and I could be wrong, so don't quote me on this. I think Donkey was one of them.
No.
I think Donkey beat the level.
Really?
No way.
I'm not sure.
So there's more than one.
Somebody pointed out to me that it looked like
it was his username. Okay.
Or something, but maybe I'm wrong.
Fuck.
I think he might have beat it.
If anybody
was going to beat it, it'd be him.
Yeah, he's a pro gamer, man.
I can't believe that. But anyway, watch the thing that we put up and you'll see how we
do it. Yeah, see how.
I should probably pick that game up.
I think I might now.
Now I'm getting vibes of like Marble Blast Ultra kind of where it's just like, oh, I beat this thing. How about you try it?
Which I love. Yeah. I love that kind of.
That's fun.
I'm not a competitive person, but when it's just between friends, hey, I did this. See
so
if you
much
can do
fun.
This. I like it when it's just kind of direct like that. I do enjoy it. So maybe I need to check that out.
Hmm.
But I have a lot to play. I still never played. I still haven't played Yoshi's Macaroni. Project. Whatever.
Funtime Arts Studio.
Anyway, I guess we can wrap it up. We've probably gone way over. Sorry, Sean. Now, Sean is sick.
He is.
So I don't expect it. He's probably not going to add much editing to this episode. But I will say, Sean, if you want to go light on the rest of it, that's fine. But at least here, do an incredible
end
sequence.
Massive.
Like, I'm talking like CGI, like Industrial Light and Magic type shit.
Something we've never seen before, too.
And have it be just a collision of all, like the best of Mega 64, the best of...
engaging, new.
Just engaging and all, just kind of like the history of video games up till now.
Buzzwordy.
And then the history of Mega 64 up till now. And it all collides into a massive montage. Go ahead and play it.
Influential.
Go ahead and play it now. Thank you. Wow. Thanks
that
for that,
was
Sean.
Sick.
Awesome. I'm sure whatever you did, that was
round of applause,
dope.
Sean.
And he was sick when he edited that. So I give him a lot
good
of credit.
Good job, man.
A lot of credit.
Wow.
So anyway, thank you for watching, everybody. It was another great podcast. And thanks for watching. And
you want to go ahead and execute order?
Close up on me. This is what the podcast would have been. Hold on. Fuck that. Oh, no, that's okay. No, that's fine. Shame on you, but that's okay. Before we ended this, I want to go to Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin doesn't get to be on the set during the podcast that much. So, Kevin, is there anything you had bottled up that you never got to talk about that you were so excited to get it out there? Just like a thought or like a... Wait. Hold on. Before you get to that. Wait, fuck that. Now I'm going to back up even more.
What?
We didn't even get to talk about, you got to go on the Jurassic World ride.
I did. I got to go to the tech previews or whatever.
Touch on that real quick.
Technical rehearsals. It was great. They did it's a reskin for most of it, but the beginning and end are totally different.
Of this ride. It used to be Jurassic Park ride.
It used to be Jurassic Park,
World.
Now it's Jurassic World. And they did a good job of focusing on the dinosaurs and not so much the characters of Jurassic World, which is what I like.
Shit movie.
So it's a lot less Jurassic World and more just cool And it needed an upgrade. It needed the upgrade so bad. So I loved it. Did. Check it out.
So they did a good job.
They did a great job for what they did. And I'm sure that they, in the background, they needed to upgrade it, but the only way they can get the budget is by tying it to the new movies. So I give them a pass.
But I feel like they did a good job not dwelling on the new movies. That's the reason this ride was redone, but it doesn't, it isn't like just stuff.
It doesn't, like, it's not Chris Pratt or any like Chris Pratt, animatronic or just big scenes stuff. It's just more, little taste.
Yeah, it's more a crazy dinosaur ride. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Anyway, so you dug it. All right, now.
Yeah.
Now, again, to wrap it up,
okay.
Kevin, what's something you always kind of wanted to say on the podcast, you never really got to? Finally, you can say it. Go ahead.
Well, should it be truthful or a lie? Well, I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Rocco, you look so fucking cool right now.
Wait, was that real or a lie?
I'm not going to say. It's a secret. Area 51 secrets over here.